Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Story Hard on a Team of Voices. Team of Voices is a group located on poetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. And thank you, AP Taylor, for sponsoring the blog talk page. Also, thank you to Deborah Lee for running the group and the blog talk page so we can speak out live. I am your host, Skye, and we had a little bit of a hiatus. But we are back, and since there was a hiatus, we are celebrating Christmas, our Christmas episode here in January. The other ones were pushed till next year, but I did want to get at least this one done because I was super excited about it. We are going to be celebrating Batman Arkham Origins, the video game. And it is a Christmas video game because it takes place on Christmas Eve, which is really exciting. I actually have some clips from it that you could listen to over the course of the show, along with some poetry. I did cut out the end because it was New Year's with the end clip was New Year's, and I wish I would have known that it would have been postponed because it would have been perfect too. But we'll have to save that for next year, I guess. But a little bit about the opening music, we actually are closing with it too. It's from the video game itself, and it was Arkham Origins' Carol DeBell's Joker's theme. Joker was coming about. That was played, which was really exciting because Carol of the Bells is, it's like my favorite Christmas song. So I just love that they incorporated it with that. And then it was also Winter Comes to Gotham. And then we're closing with songs from the game soundtrack as well. And they, all the songs were done by Christopher Drake. And he is a composer for American film, television, and video games. He has provided music for first 75-minute animated series, Hellboy, Sword of Storms, Hellboy Blood and Iron, by Starz Media in 2006-2007. He also was a part of the geometry included in the Kronos series. He has done, obviously, Batman scores for animated films such as Superman, Batman, Public Enemies in 2009, Justice League, Crisis on Two Earths, Batman Under the Red Hood, All-Star Superman, Green Lantern, Emerald Knight, Batman Year One, and so much more. Video games, Hellboy, Science of Evil, Injustice, Gods Among Us, which is a great video game if you haven't played it, and Injustice 2017. He also did some shows, like I said, on Netflix, the remake Lost in Space. I haven't seen that, but I really loved the original, and it's always been something that I've been interested in trying to catch up on, but not there yet. So he is making his mark. I like how he, like I said, incorporated Carol of the Bells and kind of remade it into Batman theme. I thought that was really cool. Batman Arkham Origins is a 2013 action-adventure game developed by WB Games and by Montreal and published by Warner Brothers, Warner Bros. Interactive Entertainment, based on the DC comic book heroes Batman, created by Bob Kane. It is a follow-up to 2011 video game Batman Arkham City. And like I said, I did go with this one before the other one. I did them a little out of order because it took place on Christmas Eve. So I hope you guys enjoy the show. I already have some callers here. I'd like to say thank you to Rack and Tor. Hello, Rack.
I miss you.
I know. I miss you, too. It's been crazy. Honestly, I know. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I talked to you since Christmas, but not since New Year. So how have you been?
Not bad. You mentioned he did Batman Under the Red Hood. The Joker was the Red Hood before he became the Joker. Spoiler alert.
Awesome. Yeah, you know, I can't say, like, I was bummed out I couldn't do the shows, and I have to postpone some of the shows. I just don't want to do Christmas all of January. But in another way, it gave me some extra time, and I kind of needed that extra time too. So Blog Talk, it was like a good and a bad thing, if that makes any sense. So yeah, I don't know what we were doing, but we are back. Okay, we have another caller, and he can't stay too long, so I want to get him on up here. Hello, Steven.
Ready?
Oh, I can now.
Okay.
How are you?
How's it going? I'm good.
It's going. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
I know. I don't even, I'm all discombobulated. I haven't done really intros, but we've got him. I mean, I haven't even been on, so. How's it going?
Oh, it's going all right. The holidays are over, so now I can relax. Sort of.
Oh, good, good. All right, here we go, just to make Rack happy.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Was it busy? Did you have a busy holiday?
Oh, yeah, we have a lot of things going on, plus the holidays on top of it. It just made it very, a hot mess.
A hot mess. Oh. We survived, sounds like.
So far.
It is nice to, so far. And then we've got the whole new year, and then you've got Valentine's Day and all that stuff. It's like never ends.
Very true.
All right. So I put your clip in, and I think this is the right one because I put it in a while ago. I don't think it's the right clip because it says 19 seconds. All right, Stephen, do you have anything you want to plug your, oh my gosh, you're so funny. Would you want to plug your books? I know you've got your books going on, and do you want to take a moment to do that?
Sure. I actually, of course, have the Eerie series that I've been writing. I was going to stop at 3 books, but I couldn't stop, so there's a 4th book in the works. And actually, I'm almost done with that. Hopefully within the next week or so, it may be available. But I have the Eerie Depth, the Eerie Ocean, and the Eerie Islands there in that order. That's the order that should be read in. I also have a couple of books with short stories. What Lurks Behind the Eyelids and Behind the Closet Door are 2 books of short stories that I wrote. And you can go all the way back to Desolate Earth if you want to include that little science fiction adventure in rhyme. It really kicks the guy off. But those are all available on Amazon.com and Goodreads.com and BarnesandNoble.com as well as other venues. Okay.
Awesome. And you did your short stories, right? What made you keep going? Just loved it that much?
I like the characters. Yeah.
All right. And when is the D&D ones coming out?
Well, that's still in the progress, so it's got a ways to go. But the next one you did, what was it? What's the next one? Sorcerer or no? No, it's,
I don't have the next one set up to come out, but I think I gave you the next one, right? Because I already opened up I already have them in order, so I mean, really, if you wanted to get ahead, you could too. But let's see, the next one. You already did it?
Yeah, I already wrote it. I just got to wait for the topic folder. Warlock.
Warlock, yeah. Well, if you already did it, I'm going to set it up for this month. My folders are a little crazy right now because of this whole, I don't know if you realize, but for like 3 weeks, the Blog Talk's been down for a bit. So,
oh, yeah, I know.
Like, I had to figure out if I was going to push my Christmas shows or if I was going to just cancel it and then start next year. Like, I had to figure out what I was going to do. So I think we're going to go with just doing this one and then pushing the Christmas ones to July or Christmas. I don't know yet. So we'll see. All right, Stephen, I'm almost ready. I'm very sorry, but I thought I had it in, but then I went to go press play. I realized it was not the right one. So it's just loading in now. But okay, here we go. All right.
Before you hit play, you already talked about the music in the background, because I did use the Joker's theme, the Carol of the Bells, in the background. And there's one part, no matter how many times I tried to do a different take, the music almost overtakes my voice, but I think it's still here. So there you go.
Okay, well, we'll read it out loud. So, I mean, not we'll read it out loud. I'll read along with it. So let me just drop the poem really quick in the... I feel, like, really rusty. I feel, like, super rusty. Okay. Oh, I already did drop it. All right, good. I already did it. There we go. All right, love it. I'm going to go ahead and press play, and then we're going to get this show started.
'Twas the Night Before Christmas by Stephen76. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and in Arkham Cell, the Joker was planning to take Gotham to hell. Last week he had loosened the glaze on his window and schemed to meet Penguin in the yard below. The Riddler was tossing and turning in bed while white Christmas visions played freezes at head. Bane was wrapped in a straitjacket with chains. His role was to distract the guard with false pains. When the evil clown knew that the coast was all clear, he climbed through the window with a terrible sneer. With knotted up bedsheets, he scaled the wall, and only just once did he fear he would fall. There was hardly a footstep in the fresh fallen snow. The only prints belonged to the Penguin's tiptoe. But what should appear to their terrified eyes but the bat signal dancing on clouds in the sky? The bat wing then flew so amazingly quick, the Joker's smile died and he felt very sick. The cockpit did open and the Dark Knight jumped out. The Penguin snapped his umbrella and started to pout. "The both of you belong behind iron bars," the Batman yelled as he stepped in the yard. "It's Christmas, so give up without a fight," a choice rarely given by the Dark Knight. But the Joker and Penguin just wouldn't sway and vowed they'd be free this holiday. So they raised up their fists and prepared for a brawl, which is what the bat wanted for Christmas after all. He punched Penguin's head and cracked his glass jaw, then elbowed his gut, pushing food from his maw. His speed and dark cape made him hard to see as he pummeled the villain who started to bleed. The Joker knew he was in over his head. When Batman turned to him, he felt certain dread. He felt a blow to the chest and lost all his wind. Then from the weight of the bat to the ground, he was pinned. Batman continued to issue his heroic work. He punched and he slapped the grinning vile jerk. And after his fist broke the Joker's white nose, he gave a nod and up the guy line he rose. He jumped in the cockpit and opened the throttle, and away he did fly like a rocketing bottle. But I heard him grumble as he flew out of sight. "Merry Christmas, Gotham. You're all safe for the night." End poem.
Oh my God, I love it. I'm so glad I waited to listen to it. I'm not on mute, right? No, I'm not. This is so brilliant. Oh my goodness. First of all, I just put it on my recommended list because I think this is one of the best fan, like what are they? Oh my gosh, I am so, not fandom.
Fan fiction.
No, not fan at all. Parody slash fan fiction ever. First of all, I love how you did it like the night before Christmas, but you had Carol of the Bells, and yet you synchronized it so wonderfully because you were reading it as if you were pacing yourself, uh-huh. And you were doing the night before Christmas, even in the long line rhyme and the way that you presented it. But the background music was the Carol of the Bells, and it just, it linked so wonderfully. So you can't even say it's a parody of Carol of the Bells. It's really a parody of The Night Before Christmas, but completely changed, but to different music, to the musical background of Carol of the Bells. So it's like, I don't know, it's so creative. I absolutely loved it. I loved the length of it because it really did feel like a story. And I felt like, I mean, you do great brevities, and I love brevities as well. But for some reason, when I'm reading The Night Before Christmas story, like, this is just brilliant, the length of it. Because even though it was lengthy, it didn't feel like that when you were reading it because I was so invested. I love the creative way that you brought in the characters. I did cut out Freeze because it was like at the end of the video game. It was like after, and it was New Year's Day or New Year's Eve or whatever. And then they finally had Freeze come in, and I decided, well, it's not Christmas, so I love that you kind of brought that in there and just said like a little shout out. And then again, Bane with the straight jacket and the chains. Oh my gosh! And I don't know, just everything. You got the Penguin, and you get the bat signal. It's like you didn't miss anything, and you spun it all into this brilliant and creative tale. And on top of that, you have dialogue, which I thought was really great too. Like, and you bring in everybody's personality and everybody's character lines. And I think it's just so wonderful. This is really, really great. This is like what I hope for, but I'm like, no one's going to write a whole story about Christmas Eve, but you did. So brilliant. Raconteur, what do you think? And by the way, it did get a little, your voice did get a little quieter, but I really feel like I could hear you over the music. I do see what you mean, but I still, it was a brilliant SoundCloud, absolutely brilliant. And if you were like, oh, well, I could read it straight, or you can have a little bit of the music get a little loud, I'd way prefer the way you did it. So excellent. But, and them fighting over the food, brilliant. I'll try to stop. Sorry. Go ahead. I know. It's just brilliant.
It really was. That was very well done, Stephen. I would have liked more characters, but for what you did, it was amazing. I mean, you know, the Joker and the Penguin, and they're towing, and they're breaking out, and they're going to get free, and no, they're not. There's the Batwing, and you know, and then next thing you know, everyone's getting their butts kicked, and yeah. I mean, the joy of the Batman of giving out that butt whooping was well received too, because you know he's a little crazy in that way. I think that and they don't play that up enough.
Thank you.
Brilliant, Rack. When I was looking for Christmas, what I was going to do, and I've done so many Christmas movies, and I'm like, you know what, I really want to do some video games, and I'm just like, what kind of video games can I do for Christmas theme, and I was like, well, I usually do like Who's the Best Santa, and a lot of people did a really good job with that, so I was like, I'm going to try this one out and see if people would write Batman Christmas poems, and I just think when you can give someone any topic to write about and they just nail it, like you're like, oh, let's write a poem about Batman at Christmas. It just shows how creative you are, really, truly. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Thank you. It was fun.
All right, I know it was fun to read, and it's hope that people read it on my recommended list because it's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. I know you have to go, so I don't want to keep you. Of course, I would love to keep you, but I know that you're time crunch here. So, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you. Good to hear from y'all again.
Yeah, are you doing the man cave? Is I see that up. Is that old? I haven't looked over there.
Well, this Friday is the final episode of the man cave. It's going to be 9 p.m. Eastern, and it will be a two-hour special man cave instead of just an hour. So.
Okay. And what is it, just bring something or what?
Hannah had talked about us reading some short stories, but there have been a few poems dropped as well, so we'll just wing it like we always do.
Okay. All right. And that's at what time? 9?
9 p.m. Eastern.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
Have a dark night.
I'll have a dark night. I mean, he really fit everything in there. I keep looking at the poem. He climbed through the window with a terrible sneer. Like, he really did a good job with the parallels of A Night Before Christmas. Brilliant.
He kept the cadence.
He kept the cadence of that story, and it didn't clash with the Carol of the Bells. I think that's what I liked about it. Like, when I was trying to say it's like a parody / fandom / not really, because it didn't clash with the music. You know, you would think you would want it to go, because the music in the background, you think you would want it to go with the Carol of the Bells, maybe because the Carol of the Bells, too, was revamped, too, like it even lent to it. Yeah. All right, I am going to play my first clip, and then I'm going to get some water. I do have some poems that aren't about the Dark Knight because I had other topics up throughout the month that were canceled. And even though I plan on redoing those shows, I still wanted to honor the people that dropped for those. So I do have poems that are on topic for the other shows that I had planned, which was Zelda. I think I have the three for Zelda. I think they were all Zelda. But we will still celebrate Zelda's Christmas. But I wanted to play the songs, but we will do that at a later time. But I would like to honor these poems that were dropped. Looks like Silo Shield, Deborah Lee, and Hatter. So I'm going to play my first clip. And I hope you like it. And this is, and the same thing with films. I just did the video game in a way that hopefully people can follow it and enjoy it. And I made the clips myself, so I hope that you like what I chose to bring. Obviously, it's like the playthrough is very long. It's like over 8 hours. So it's probably more than over 8 hours. I can't really remember, but probably 8 to 12. But I obviously did not bring 12 hours worth of clips. So.
Darn.
Oh, darn. I can't find my... Oh, here we go. I can't find my name. All right. So the first clip, and they are in order, so you can enjoy. If you haven't played the video game, this is your spoiler alert, because there will be spoilers. And, so it opens up, and shows the Black Mask, Loeb, and Killer Croc. And then I think we're going to go into the assassin rundown right after that. I think I'm going to play double clips back to back. So we are going to go into the assassin and get a little bit of the storyline and get to enjoy that. And then we'll read another poem. So here we go.
Dispatch 5-9, confirm code 10. This is a breakout.
Suspect identified as Black Mask.
Repeat, code 10 suspect in black mask. Commissioner Loeb is being held captive. Repeat, Commissioner Loeb is 701.
Going to be a long night, Alfred. I just ran into a human-shaped crocodile. and told me Black Mask has hired assassins to kill me.
Assassins, sir? As in more than one?
That's right.
And you heard this from the mouth of a crocodile man?
His name is Killer Croc. He's already behind bars.
Oh, I pity his cellmate.
I don't. Let's see what else is on the drone's hard drive.
Each of them gets one of these envelopes. I need them delivered tonight.
They're all hired killers, the best in the business. Black Mask isn't messing around. Slade Wilson, Deathstroke, former military, subject of a failed medical experiment.
Failed, you say?
Garfield Linz, a.k.a. Firefly, burns on 90% of his body. His obsession is going to be his end.
How unlike anyone I know.
Here's a face I don't recognize. Copperhead. Strange. These reports reference a male, not a female.
14 escapes, huh? Well, you won't forget now. What the...
Floyd Lawton, a.k.a. Deadshot.
Free.
Says here he's an expert sharpshooter.
How on earth?
Suspected of many assassinations. Dangerous, but reckless. Street tough named Lester Baczynski. Calls himself Electrocutioner.
Shocking.
Shiva. Her skill is unmatched.
Wait for this!
Joseph.
Must be how Black Mask got inside the prison. He uses torture for intimidation and entertainment.
Eight assassins after your head. What are you going to do?
I'm going to find out who is operating this drone. Make them tell me what they know. Then I'm going to find Black Mask and put an end to this.
Sir, I may be stating the obvious here, but you do realize that since you and I are the only people who know the Batman's true identity, those assassins will all fail their mandate if you'd just spend the evening here.
They'll put innocents in danger to attract my attention. I can't take that risk.
And you think it's a better idea to just put yourself in their crosshairs?
There's only one person in Gotham who can get his hands on something like this. The Penguin. He's been tracking Black Mask. Its next waypoint was a rendezvous with Penguin's men at Jezebel Plaza. I'll make them talk.
You're sure this is wise, sir?
I know what I'm doing.
Well, in case you change your mind and want to train tonight instead, I'll keep your training facility active. Sir, to make your travels easier, I went ahead and set up some auto-nav points at different areas of the city. One of my preset destinations should take you right to Jezebel Plaza.
Well, well, if it isn't the King's thug himself. Figured it was only a matter of time before you showed up. Sorry about the mess downstairs.
Who is this?
Think of me as a great big mystery, one you're never going to solve.
Enigma, then.
Oh, you must think you're so clever. Well, how's this for clever? I've taken control of towers all over the city. As long as they're active, your Batwing's useless. And it looks like it's gonna stay that way. I mean, this one's practically begging to be taken offline, and you still can't hack it. Pun intended, of course. Black Mask's not going to like this.
What are you talking about?
Wouldn't you like to know?
with the jammer offline, I can travel here with the Batwing. Those relays are part of a distributed security system. I wonder what they're protecting. That must be where Enigma set up shop. I need to pay him a visit.
I see you've regained control of the Batwing, sir. I suppose it's off to Jezebel Plaza, then.
That's the plan. Then I've also got a lead on Enigma.
Well, don't overthink it too much, sir. We both know you'll eventually wind up doing both. I hope you'll try to keep a low profile tonight, sir.
Trust me. I'll take out those assassins before they even know I'm there.
It's not just that. If some curious child looks out to see who's pattering across their rooftop, they'll expect Santa Claus, not a black-clad bat creature.
I don't patter.
I don't patter. I love it. I love how they do the rundown of the assassins and how they go through. Oh, and look at, you know, Steven's always doing Star Trek connections, so I'm going to have to do a Star Wars connection because the voice of Alfred is Martin Jarvis. And I wasn't sure who that was, but it looked like he played in Titanic, and I remembered his face when I seen it, but he also played Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, the original radio drama. I don't know what that is, but there's your Star Wars connection. I don't have a Star Trek one for Steven yet. I mean, but he's got a lot. His list is pretty long. Of what he's done. I mean, it starts out in 1964. So, definitely looks like some BBC stuff, obviously. Okay. Doctor Who. Oh, my gosh. I don't see any. I see a lot of video game voiceovers. So, that must be like his thing, too. All right. What did you think?
That was pretty cool.
Sound like a... I mean, the Batman's voice is a little... I mean, it is a video game. So,
Batman could be Batman. You know, it doesn't matter who you got to play the voice. As long as it's consistent. So I'm okay with that. It doesn't bother me.
You know, like the video game prompts, you know? Like the when they're prompting you and they're talking and what to do next, but... I mean, there's a joy. I did drop some pictures in the room of as many people as I could as they mentioned them. You know, I couldn't keep up with them all, but we still have the rest of the evening, so we don't have to worry about that. But I did put some pictures up for you guys to follow kind of this, the ones that I had for character spotlights. Okay, let's see. Silo Shield. This was from the Legend of Zelda show. So this is not Batman, but I do want to honor this right. And what the Legend of Zelda show was I put there's an album, A Merry Hyrule Christmas, and what they did was they took Zelda-based music, the background music for the video game, and they infused it with known Christmas songs, kind of like they did with Carol the Bells and Batman. And I wanted to play those intermittently during the show while we celebrated pictures, and, you know, people could write to pictures of Legend of Zelda, and they were all winter-themed photos done by various artists, and mostly fan art. And, I mean, pretty awesome fan art to me. There were pictures of Zelda, Link, and of landscape. So I had said, even if you don't know the game, you can still write to the landscape. You could do whatever you want with it, really. As long as you put a shout out in the author's note or something for Zelda. So, Silo Shield wrote a brevity, and it's called The Legend of Winter. On the wind of a snow-wrought song, an ocarina waves memory's white flag, riddles unfurl with the clarity of now, like a mirror that sees beyond the mask. The age of auburn calamity is past, the morning canvas is clear, winter is haya. End quote. And I thought that was great. This is, and then they wrote in the author's notes, the winter-themed Legend of Zelda homage, which I can definitely see. I love how they wrote the Legend of Winter. I thought that was a cool spin on, obviously, the Legend of Zelda, but the Legend of Winter. I thought that was really fun and a little bit of a twist. And then I have to say my favorite lines, it is a brevity, but my favorite lines was definitely the opening two, because the Ocarina of Time is my favorite Zelda game. It was the first one I had ever, because I played it on Nintendo, so I wouldn't say it was the first one, but I would say it was the first adventure one that that I remember as a teenager playing, like, all the time. Like, I would just play it all the time. But I did have it on my Super Nintendo, but besides the original one, I went straight to Ocarina of Time, and then I think I backtracked to, like, Majora's Mask and things like that after I played Ocarina of Time on the 64. I think even though I did like, obviously, the Nintendo version, I think the Ocarina of Time, I don't know, I have very fond memories of it, and even as an adult, I played it with my godson all the way through, and I've played it again just myself all the way through. I don't know, I've played it a couple times. It was probably the only video game that I played all the way through multiple times. So, you know, I don't know, I just love it. But the poem, so the opening lines, on the wind of a snow-wrought song. I love it. It's a beautiful opening. An ocarina waves memories white flag. I love that because obviously the white flag with different a dual meaning. Like, yes, we surrender, but also the white flag, like, the color of snow and winter. So I think there's such a duality of it. And it kind of, the reader can kind of take it into their own thoughts and their own memories and say, okay, what does this mean to me? Because it has that broadness about it, you know, riddles and furl with the clarity of now, like a mirror that sees beyond the mask. I really love that. I mean, that's a brilliant, brilliant. And then they kind of set you up with those four lines and open to your thoughts and your memories. They don't really kind of go into what they're thinking about specifically, but just the feeling of it and just the action of it, which could make the reader, like I said, connect their own thoughts and kind of say, okay, what is like a mirror that sees beyond what mask to me? You know, what do I see in that? What riddles unfurl with clarity now? What didn't I understand before and now I do? So I love that there's like this openness to the poem, and I really love the language. Really well done. Thank you, Silo Shield. And it was infused with Zelda. So love it. Racketeur, what do you think?
The idea of that ocarina, I had a crazy science teacher that actually ran around with one in his pocket. So it took me right back to that. And, you know, I wouldn't have known what it was except that, you know, I had this guy that, you know, had the instrument that in his pocket, at his fingertips. So, you know, I appreciate that, the mention of that, because it took me back. And, you know, the fact that, you know, they had the whole game that mentioned it too, it was kind of cool. So, you know, there's a lot of nostalgia and things like that for me because, you know, I'm old and crotchety and things like that. And, you know, the gameplay before it got all, you know, anime and everything else, you know, I come from like the 8-bit world and all these craziness. So the music was less sophisticated and everything else. And, you know, to watch it develop was pretty cool. You know, the storylines get better as, you know, the AI and the tools get better too. So I thought it was really cool.
Thank you, Rack. And I think that too is what I meant with the, you know, the original Nintendo one. It was okay. Like, I loved playing it, but I think it was because of the graphics and the storyline of the Orc Arena of Time. I think that is why it was like my first time experiencing that kind of story graphics. And, you know, 64 now is like nothing to the graphics they have. With the Breath of the Wild, oh my goodness. But, you know, it's still, I don't know, it's just embedded.
It
thank
ain't
you so much for I know, it's just, I love it. When my godson loves to play video games, he just loves to play video games. And so when he was very young, but still able to play, we started playing that together. And it's obviously, I was one player, so it was me watching him or us switching the remotes a little bit. But I always made sure that him and I played the old games that we played on the Nintendo. We, you know, the original Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario 3, and things like that, and like the original Super Smash Brothers. So I'm a little old school that way. But yeah, so I mean, and to kind of like say what Rack always says, it is relative because it's a video game, and so is Batman. So there you go. It is all winter themed. So. What was your favorite Zelda game?
I couldn't tell you the names of the games. I just, you know, remember some of the characters. And, you know, I wasn't, you know, big on the games, which is kind of a shame because, you know, they were kind of there, ever-present. But I liked the cartoon angles of it. So, you know, when they did, like, there was a Dragon Slayer, which was amazing because, you know, the stop motion and it was like real video clips instead of characters and things like that. It was so far beyond, you know, the 8-bit, 64-bit of, you know, cube-like, you know, I can make out the person and the sword, but, you know, you don't get much more detail than that. There's almost no comparison. But, you know, the stories were always enough to you know, even with the limited graphics, keep my interest because, you know, I liked the idea of, you know, moving the character around and picking up the sword or the candle or whatever and clubbing someone with it and swinging. And, you know, if you're off by one pixel, well, unforgiving game, there you go, you're dead.
Yeah, sort of, you know, one thing that you said about, I mean, you mentioned, the one thing that, you know, the Resident Evil games, not to hop around too much, but the Resident Evil games, I love their cutscenes because it's like watching a movie. So, I mean every game does that, but I just think of the Resident Evil ones right now because that's just what I think about. The one scene that I really loved in this that I think was my favorite was in Batman Origins, Arkham Origins, was the cutscene with well, it was a fight scene really, but then they did some cutscenes in between. They do it in like a weird kind of way, but was Deathstroke. Absolutely brilliant. It was the best fight in this game to me, in my opinion. It was the best fight, and he has just so much personality, and it was just it was awesome. I mean, there wasn't like an arena scene, and it was okay. And I mean, like, there were a lot of other good scenes. And then also the Joker, you know, at the end in the church, and then the Joker scene when you first see him. I thought that was really cool. But as for the fight, I would say the Deathstroke fight was the best of the of the game. And I have that seconded by my friend. He was saying too, I was we were talking about it, and he's like, yeah, I agree. That was the best one. So it is seconded. It's not just me. All right. I am going to play my next clip here. And then I'm going to hold off on Deb. I don't know if she's calling or not. I'm going to have to see. If she does call, I'm going to see about reading my poem for her. I didn't realize they were on air last night. So I didn't even look. Let's see. All right, four. Okay, so this has Penguin and Slade. So you're going to hear about it. And Penguin, I like the way they did Penguin. I still really love the Penguin that they did in Gotham, the series, which I will eventually bring here. But for someone who loves Marvel as much as I do, I feel like all I've done is DC. So I'm going to have to balance it out a little bit. I feel like I've done so much Batman and Superman in DC, and I really love Marvel as well, and I love the X-Men. I have yet to do anything with the X-Men, so I'm going to have to figure out a way to bring that in, because I think all I really brought, you know. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. You got Penguin and Slade. I think Slade's got his own backstory that deserves a little bit of a mention, too, because he's got a thing with Robin.
Do you want to do a little backstory, or you want to wait till after the clip?
Well, I'm a little hazy on all of the details. I just know that him and Robin had a thing where he was kind of like Robin's mentor in a way, and that they had this whole rivalry going. It was really a lovely side story that you know was his. I think they featured it in Teen Titans, their
Titans
relationship.
Yep.
Yeah, and so it gave the character a lot of depth. Anyways, it really made me like that character, even though he's supposed to be like, you know, an evil villain.
I know. I love him too. I love him too. I agree. But you know what though? I really I like a lot of villains.
Yeah, root for the underdog. I'm with you.
Yeah. All right. So, thank you for that. Thank you for that. All right. So I'm gonna go ahead and press play, and then I'll drop some photos of Penguin on the board from the video game.
Not a dime changes hands in this city he can't tell you about. If anyone knows where Black Mask and his assassins are, it's him. But Penguin's hard to find. His men are doing a deal here. I'll make them talk.
Guys!
So, little boys, what do you want for Christmas? Oh, wait, I already know.
What happened?
Time to talk. Where's Cobblepot?
Let me go!
If you insist.
Please, stop. Stop! I'll tell you anything you want to know. Please!
Too late. I already have what I need.
No!
Well, look who just showed up. Have you really decided to try and take me on? Get to it then. I'm looking forward to watching you fail. Typical. I mean, why apply cognitive resources to a problem when you can just throw crap at it? You know, if you'd asked nicely, I'd have opened it for you. Congratulations are in order. Maybe you're not as stupid as I've been led to believe.
Why are you doing this, Enigma?
Direct. I like it. So, I'll tell you. Gotham's sullied. It's filled with brutes who control this city through violence and intimidation.
You didn't answer my question.
Because you didn't let me finish! I want to get rid of them, Batman, to improve Gotham's intellectual and moral standing. But I'm not a thug like you. My approach is a bit more refined.
What you're doing is no different than stealing. There's nothing refined about it.
Your response is as predictable as it is banal. Goodbye.
Now I can access the SIM card I took from that arms dealer and hack Penguin's communications.
Now, Shipman, that's saving his own arms. So next time you want to make up a story, you better hope the person you're telling it to is dumber than you are. No way. That's right. There ain't no one dumber than you!
Mr. Cobblepot, I swear it was the Bat. He dropped Ricky off the roof of the clock tower straight into the Christmas tree.
I don't care what you think you saw. If you're not back here with my money in the next 10 minutes, I'll cut your damn eyeballs out. And then you won't have to worry about seeing nothing ever again. Is that clear?
Yes, Mr. Cobblepot. I'm sorry, Mr. Cobblepot.
Listen up. I know I ought to cancel our annual boiler deck fights after what happened tonight at Jezebel Plaza. But just
there
to show you what a nice guy I am,
offer.
The fights are still on. So get yourself down to the ship right now if you want in on this.
Penguin's been hiding out on an old ship. No wonder it's been so hard to find.
I ain't waiting for laggers.
Lot of trouble coming here, Batman.
I'll kill you.
Then I'm gonna jumpstart you hard. And kill you again.
To show me where the Penguin is.
Now you best listen, Falcone. Because this is the last time I'll ask. What are you gonna tell your father?
That we're getting out of the weapons business. I promise. I'll make him do it.
I'll see you, lips flapping, Bernie.
But they ain't making the sound I want to hear.
Stop!
You idiot, Benedict!
Please! Don't hurt me!
You!
Got nothing, you know, done. Stop.
Black Mask, put a bounty on my head. Where is he?
I don't keep tabs on every geezer with a grudge. You're not probably the bloke in this town.
You're running out of time.
Wait. Lazy towers. There was a murder. It was supposed to be his Saber. Or Black Man. He's got problems of his own, I'd say. Someone broke in there.
Joker.
The Joker? Never heard of him. How about you, Dom? Know the Joker?
The who?
And you, sir? Name Joker? Ring a bell?
You son of a bitch! You think you can steal from me? Get away with it! You're a dead man.
Tiny reindeer!
I just love it. So one thing I really liked about this, too, was that you see Harley Quinn before she becomes Harley Quinn. And, when she's just going by Harlene Quinzel. And then, of course, as soon as you see her as the nurse, all the fans know who she is. But I just thought that was really cool for me anyway. All right, so I am going to – Deb is going to be calling in a little few minutes. I'm going to plug shows for now. Till then, I don't know if they're all up, though. So, so let's see. Friday, there is The Man Cave with Jay Hatter and Stephen at 9, which Stephen plugged. On Saturday, there's Open Poetry with A.P. Taylor and Jay Hatter and Deborah Lee. They go live at 9. And then on Monday, I have an IOU, too, for her. I don't know if she wants me to read it for her now or if she wants me to just give her the IOU here. So let's see. This is Monday's shows. We'll go live at 10. This week's topic is Your Personal Prop Monday favorite poem from any of my Monday nights. Ooh, so this one's a little different. So it's just your favorite poem. That's going to be hard. So I'm going to have to think about that one. She goes live at 10 p.m. on Monday the 8th. My favorite one. It's a lot. I'm going to have to start going through. All right, and speak her name, and she shall arrive. Hello, Deborah Lee.
Hello there. How are you?
Good. I was just talking about your Monday night. It's a little different.
Yeah, it was supposed to be my first show of the year, but since I didn't get to have my first show of the year yet, here it is. It gives me a refresher on each of the poets by seeing what they choose. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, so I can either bring my poem that I wrote for you last week now if you have time, or I can bring it next week during my favorite, during the favorite one. I didn't realize you were on last night because I didn't check my messages here. I've not been on AP. I used to like check AP like every day, and I just have not been good about that. Especially because I've been going to bed early, like 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Sky, I totally understand. Your hands are a wee bit full, but either way is fine. Since it's for a Monday, I mean, you can bring it with your favorite, and then you can go to bed. Done other poems, if that works for you.
All right. Well, Mondays I'm getting a little home late, so actually I probably will still be up. That's probably the one day that I probably am up. I mean, besides today, that I'm up a little late because I've been working till 9. I've been doing a double on Mondays, and then by the time I get everybody here settled, it's like 9:30, which is late for us, but it's the one night that's late, so that's good. All right, so Deb, I have an IOU from you, and I have not read it yet because I'm a true believer that you like to read your stuff to me yourself, and I like it too. So this is one actually from Swan Lake, if you remember.
Aha, yes. And did I hear Raconteur?
You too. But I may need to have Raconteur take over the show for a moment.
Happy New Year, Rack.
Hey, Deb.
How you doing?
All right, Deb. You might want to read, because I'm going to have to press a clip for a little bit or something. So You can go ahead and read your poem.
All right. Well, this is called True Love Needs No Spell. Just tell me, butterflies. And here we go. Night falls, wrapping the swan bank in shadows, till the crescent moon radiates with opal beams. Beams glimmer on the lake as the moon glows and glitter dances from the motioning streams. Starlight freckles platinum over the ebony scene, flickering on the leaves on the top of trees, until daybreak lights up the woods emerald green and bright yellow rays heat the morning breeze. By the stone castle at the lake I spy wings. Swans swim in a lake top ballet in crystal water from a sorcerer's spell trying to tie heartstrings on the maiden and princess he holds prisoner. As the sorcerer casts his spell over the princess, he cannot tie her heartstrings to the dark baron. But the prince sets butterflies in her onto caress, breaking every spell that the sorcerer cast upon. End poem.
I absolutely love it. Now, did you ever see this version? It's very rare.
I was going to say, I really don't think that I have seen this version, no.
For the longest time, I had to figure out what it was that I was watching when I was younger, because it is like a Japanese anime that was like dubbed over in English subtitles, never even released formally. So like my mom had it on VHS. I don't even know how she had it, but besides that, like VHS release, it's very hard to get. They have it on YouTube, thank goodness, because I was able to find it in like I think Tubi maybe. But I absolutely loved what you did with it. I loved how you bring in the story. And the one thing about that I, you know, mentioned during the show was that for me as a child, this was my first experience, you know, of my own with classical music. I watched this very, very young. And though I did have a step-parent when I got older who always had classical music on in the car, I had already loved classical music, and this was the first time that I ever heard classical music. And it remains to this day my favorite song ever written, this one, like, and across all genres. And the one thing about it is it's very moving and very beautiful. And so when you use words like to the crescent moon radiates with opal beams glimmer on the lake as the moon glows, and then glitter dances from the motioning streams. When you use a beautiful language like that, I love that you do it, because it's reminiscent to me of the beauty of the song, of the whole story that's brought into life. And then I really like the freckles, starlight freckles platinum. I never really looked at the stars and thought of them as freckles, and so I think that's really creative. And I don't think I've ever read that before. I like how you didn't like the starlight. You didn't write they were freckles, but you wrote starlight freckles. You've changed it even the way that you delivered it. So I thought that was really creative and really well done. And then you tied in this whole thing with the ballet, and then of course with the princess and her being held prisoner, and the whole scene at the end with the sorcerer. So, and how she is, she saved. So I absolutely love it. Thank you so much. It was really worth the wait. I'm glad that you got to read it to me yourself. I do always prefer that. And I know that you like to too. So I hold on to them. I just keep switching it over, which is fine for me. So I don't even know if you remember you had this one. I didn't.
But yes, I do prefer to read them to you, and I actually have one of yours from a Monday carryover for 100 years, and I think I put that on Monday because, of course, we didn't read it last night because you weren't there. But yeah, like when I get
it wasn't from the last one I wrote. You have a different one.
I think it's the last one. No. Yeah, I think it's the last one you wrote, because we did a test show last night, and we grabbed all the poems that were sitting around waiting for weeks to, because like that show got postponed once, and then it got messed up by the studio a couple times. I'm trying to find it right now.
Yeah, so three weeks ago, I was No Winona, but I sure love to twirl.
I only,
all my last poems are only for your show, so that it's really easy to find, because I literally have only written.
Oh, okay. So. It's like pink and purple snow scene?
Yes, that's the last one, and that was 3 weeks ago. That was, and then I wrote that 3 weeks ago, and then the last poem before that was 2 months ago, and again, that was for your thing, and then 3 months ago, and those three are for yours. So I've not been writing very much, but when I do, they're all for your picture poems. It's like the only time I write right now. So they're easy to find because it's the only thing on my page. But let me get you a comment from Rack. Rack and Tour, what do you think?
So I enjoyed it very much. I love the story. But, you know, also because of, you know, our interactions and things like that, anytime someone, you know, does plays on the stars or things like that, you know, I think directly of you. So, you know, she's talking about freckles. I'm like, well, I wonder if this guy has freckles. So, you know, the personal touch, but not necessarily, you know, a literal one. But little things like that just you know, kind of make me think of our hostess. So, you know, I appreciate that tilt in the storyline as well. You know, your descriptives are always gorgeous and usually somewhat unexpected, but, you know, very fitting and lovely metaphors. You know, like the way that you write in general. And again, you know, it's a wonderful telling of the story and a beautiful, beautiful piece.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It was nice hearing both of you. It feels like it's been 100 years since we've been on the radio because of, you know, either personal reasons that we had to not do a show and then the problem with the studios. It just feels like forever. Last night,
yeah.
It was sort of cold feet. By the end of it, though, I was very relieved that they were finally back in business, because everybody was saying how much they missed talking and whatnot, and you hate disappointing people, you know?
Yeah, it was like a blessing and a curse, because I was like, oh, I could use the extra time. I actually, it really worked out well for me, but then also I really missed it, and then I had to like, what am I going to do? Am I going to do all the shows in December? But on the other hand, I was on vacation those 2 weeks. Wednesday was my I'm going to have to play some clips here. So it kind of worked out, but I still really missed it. But thank you, Deb, for calling. Do you want to plug your show yourself? Or?
No, ma'am. You did a wonderful job for me. I appreciate that. And Happy New Year to both of you. And, I put that the poem on the master list for Monday. So.
Okay, I'll call in Monday and I'll read that one for you.
And, well, didn't you say you already had one? Or what was the one?
That's
with,
the one.
No, the one. Oh, okay. All right, cool then. It's already on the board then.
You doing your favorite personal prompt for Monday?
Yeah.
No, I'm just going to bring the IOU. Oh, for you're asking...
That's what I was going to say. You still have to thumb through and pick a favorite.
Oh, I don't have to do two. We'll talk about it later.
Well, consider picking
press,
the other one.
I got to press a clip, though. I have to press a clip. So,
uh-oh.
Okay.
Hey, yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll talk about it later. Love and respect, you guys. Happy New Year.
You too.
Happy New Year. Is that the New Year's baby?
There's nothing here.
collect a bounty?
That's just a consolation prize, in case you fail the test.
Test? I don't have time for this.
Somewhere in New Gotham, an innocent man is about to die. And we both know you won't allow that. So the question is, can you find him, Batman? Can you save him?
You're waiting for something?
More minutes, your body will realize it. That's it. Use your strength. With every effort, you hasten your end.
Must scan the room for Copperhead's poison.
Welcome to our first quarterly performance review. As you can see here, Batman deaths are coming in far below projections. We are really gonna have to turn this around.
And by we, I mean you. Got that, Mr. Fusioner?
Just who the hell are you?
I'm the guy with the money.
And the gun.
So, when I hire you to kill the Batman, you...
Shut the hell up and kill the Batman!
So do you have anything else?
I didn't think so.
Detective is fantastic. Anyone want a piece?
All right, meetings adjourned. Get out there and kill the bat. Move it along, big boy.
No, he's coming for you now. And when he gets here, I'm going to kill him. So you wait.
Well, this should be interesting. Employees rescued for you, and oh my, I'm still way ahead in the employees killed column. I know it's tempting with all these goodies lying around, but don't go helping yourself to a gift. They're not for you! There, there, don't feel left out. I've got a special gift just for you right up here. And it's wrapped in about 400 pounds of muscle.
Good Lord! I don't believe it! Tell me we're still getting this!
Yeah, we're still alive.
This is Vicki Vale reporting live from the Gotham Royal Hotel, where there has just been a massive explosion. And now it appears the Batman has been blown from the building by the blast and is somehow hanging from the bottom of our helicopter. Several armed men have gathered on a balcony.
Those men have guns!
We gotta go. Wait for him to jump.
It's not worth it, Vicki.
You need to be jump or you'll be working traffic from now on, you hear me? After years of on and off unconfirmed sightings with no recorded video, we've seen the Bat twice tonight and caught him on film. Could this be the turning of a new leaf for the mysterious vigilante? Is he about to become a public figure? One thing for sure, after what I've seen him do tonight, he's on his way to becoming a household name.
Batman on live television. This is Vicki Vale signing off.
Sir, I've just seen the explosion of the Gotham Royal on the news. The hotel guests, are they safe?
Not now, Alfred.
Sir, are you all right? Your voice...
I'm fine, Alfred. I've dealt with psychopaths before, but this...
Sir, I strongly suggest you call in Captain Gordon. He could be a valuable ally for you.
I don't need any allies.
To drop in. And just in time.
He's my parasol.
Remember, you gave your word.
You have 1 minute.
Do they even have manners where he comes from? You see, it's a tradition in my house to open one present each on Christmas Eve. How about this one?
How many lives did you just take?
None, I think. That was just a little stocking stuffer. A construction site blocking my view.
But this was it.
I'm I've long waited for this moment. With your death, I will find peace.
Welcome to Blackgate. We're going to do a quick psychiatric evaluation. Bad day, huh? Cops in this city. Always beaten on the sick and defenseless.
Tell me something, dear. Have you ever had a really bad day?
And what do you mean by that?
You of all people should know. There's nothing so cruel as memory. A pony biting to a thunderbolt, unwanted party crashes screaming for your senses. Inescapable, unrelenting, not at all friendly. You can't even escape into madness. And then you meet someone who changes your life. And you feel that you don't even know who you are anymore. One little encounter can cleave off little pieces of your past, deform your memories and persona, to rethink your whole identity. And as you realize how foolish it all is, your laughter reverberates on the walls of your own emptiness.
Okay. I'm going to need more specifics. How about we try some word association?
That sounds delightful.
Okay. One more. And I need you to be serious for this one. Fate.
You want to know something funny? I used to think of fate as evil. Predetermined, not by some higher power, no, but by the rules of human nature. Tonight, it's all changed.
What changed?
Have you ever had the feeling that your entire life has been building towards this one moment?
Is that how you feel?
Well, now, yes. Now I realize that all the battles, the bad days, the brutalities, it was all the hand of fate at work.
So now you see things differently?
Absolutely. Now I understand. There are no chance encounters. It was all meant to be. Everything leading up to who I've met tonight.
So you met someone special?
Yes. And you might say it's changed everything.
Everything?
Absolutely. I mean, do you realize what a vile world out there is? How lonely it is to wade through all that wretched filth on your own?
It is kind of lonely, isn't it?
Of course. Of course you understand. Even in a crowd of other screwballs, you're so alone that you can kick, claw, yell, scream at the top of your lungs. It's like you don't even exist. I feel... sometimes I feel like I'm trapped on this path leading nowhere. It's just emptiness.
Now you feel like you've got someone by your side to share the journey with you. And how does that make you feel?
Like someone's pulled the stopper on my reality, and I'm sucked down the drain into something new.
It's all very exciting, really. You wouldn't know what that feels like, I'm sure.
I might. Can you tell me more about how this person makes you feel?
It's like meeting someone I can actually relate to.
Which, believe me, dear, I've never felt before.
You understand. You're someone who's not afraid to let go and fall. Free falling.
And I didn't pack a chute.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I figured you would.
So, may I ask, who is this person?
Someone very, very special. But whose real name I don't even know yet.
My name's Holline. Holline Quinzel.
What a pretty name. Do your friends call you Holly?
Oh, I don't have a lot of friends.
Well, Holly, you got one now.
It might be a bit anticlimactic, but I hoped you might finally be ready to celebrate Christmas Eve, now that the Joker's behind bars.
Bane is still out there. I've got to locate the signal from the tracker I placed on him.
Even you must eat some.
If you hadn't called the police, he'd already be in custody.
Dispatch, this is Delta 47.
You know, I made a promise of my own to your parents.
No sign of any casualties.
Master Bruce. Stop, Master Bruce.
Bruce!
I will not in good conscience allow you to go. You're outmatched by these assassins.
What?
You're not some hardened vigilante. You're a young man with a trust fund and too much anger. You're in over your head and I don't want this to be your end.
Alfred, who do you see when you look at me? The boy whose shoes you used to tie every morning? The teenager you drove to his first date? While you are here every night, I am out there. The only thing between the innocent
you
and the predator.
You may be!
No, not may be. I am. When the mugger or the thief stops to think twice, that is fear. That is what I am. That is why they hired assassins, because I am the reason the criminals breathe easier when the sun rises. So no, Alfred. I am not in over my head. But it will be theirs.
Breathe in, cop, Harvey. He'll do his job.
Don't send in your men. Firefly has the bridge rigged with explosives.
Show yourself.
You have a go.
No.
Call them back. If Firefly blows the bridge, there's no telling how many will die.
You're the reason those people are in danger. He's doing this for the bounty on your head. Give yourself up.
I'm going to bring in Firefly myself. Don't send anyone else in until I tell you it's safe.
You'll stay the hell out of this. You hear me?
Didn't listen.
I'm not big on taking orders from wanted men.
I'm not big on taking orders from cops. I should have gotten to that last bomb.
Yeah. And I should have given you access to that security door. But between the two of us, we covered it pretty well.
Time for doubt.
I can't do it. I can't stop them.
No, you can't. Not on your own. But it's high time you realize that you are a man, not an island. And a man's strength comes not from just brawn and intelligence, but also from his allies.
C1 alert. The Joker has escaped from his cell and is leading the riots at Blackgate. Repeat, the Joker has taken over the entire prison. Multiple casualties, multiple hostages. Again, we have lost Blackgate. Captain Gordon is calling on anyone, anyone for assistance.
They need you.
No, they need us.
I understand you. You had a chance.
chance to let me die, and you didn't take it.
I bet right now you're wishing you had.
I killed
a lot of people.
I brought the city to its knees, crippled the police force, and it's not even time to unwrap our presents. Skip it.
Let's do this.
Okay, okay. So, what our friend Bane holds in his hand is a heart monitor. Once he clamps it on, every beat of his bacon little heart will charge the battery on this electric chair. When it's fully charged. So either you kill Bane.
No, I won't kill him, but you will. You will fight me with all your resolve, or you will die. Someone is going to die. You, me, or the clown. The question of which one of us it is in your hands.
A compassionate man would be called. Mourning the loss of his servant and lifelong companion right now. Yet here you are.
The game is over, Joker. Let Captain Gordon go.
Yeah, put the gun down, freak.
How about I put you down?
Gordon!
Well, that's the Christmas. Well, I'd love to stay and celebrate your victory, but I've got stockings to stuff, mistletoe to hang, and about 15 skyscrapers to blow up before sunrise.
Any one of my guys would have killed him. The city deserves better than that. You know, my daughter thinks you're a hero. But I still have to bring you in.
Gordon, come in. What's your 20?
I'm in the chapel. We got the Joker.
Son of a bitch. You caught him. Then how did you do that?
I had some help. I keep asking myself why I didn't bring him in. And I now know the truth is I let him go because of you. Because you believe in him. I don't know. They put me in charge of a station full of rotten cops. And I can't change them any more than I can change this damn city. Or at least, that's what I used to think.
Stop this. Stop. That is funny. Good one, Bat. This is going to be fun.
Maybe I can give them something to believe in. Maybe he can give them something to believe in.
Of course, that is not quite the end because we still have the little classic clip that I don't have for the New Year's. It was like the New Year's. This is at the very end of the game. And I also could take that out because maybe we can just celebrate the characters that were involved on another New Year's, because it was based on New Year's, but and believe it or not, that's the whole show. It is 5 minutes left, and that worked out perfectly for me. I do want to thank Rackin for Deborah Lee and Silo Shields for all contributing. I do have a poem, Killer Croc, from Jay Hatter, but I will save that for him to read to me at a later time. And we are going to be closing out with the two songs from the band. I mean, from the game. So, thank you. And good night. Back and forth.
Night.
Good night.
I don't know if I was on mute or not.
No. I haven't muted you. Okay. Have a nice night. Thank you.
My pleasure. Good night.